Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, if you would please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're now at the conclusion of this letter from the Apostle Peter to the believers who had been scattered abroad and were suffering persecution. As he writes in the opening, "To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood." So now as he concludes the letter, this is chapter 5. This is God's word. "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends her greetings. And so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all who are in Christ." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Peter has been, as we said, writing to people who were going through sufferings of various kinds, a lot of persecution happening, and as he says in those opening verses, they'd been scattered. It wasn't that they all got ambitious and decided to leave home. It was that they were forced out of the situation in Jerusalem, and they had been scattered throughout much of the Roman Empire. And in those situations, there were questions in the minds of the people. Why are we here? We thought we were on the winning team. Jesus is Lord, right? So how come we're getting forced to go from here to there, etc.? Well, Jesus had told us to expect that. And Jesus had actually told his followers in Jerusalem, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when they didn't leave town, God used the opposition of their enemies to send them out of town. And so now they're traveling all around, and Peter is writing to them and encouraging them in chapter after chapter, verse after verse, to trust the Lord and do what is right, and don't be afraid, because there is glory that awaits us. And he comes back both to the idea of suffering and to the glory that is our future in these closing sections. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. He doesn't say, I'm giving you orders as an apostle. Could have, but he didn't. He said, I appeal to you as a fellow elder. I'm an elder too, he says. I'm a pastor also. I know what goes with that. When I was a kid, I started preaching to anybody who I could find as a captive audience when I was a preschooler. Like 5 years old, I'm out on the sidewalk where the guy's working on the telephone line. I want to know if he knows Jesus. I want to know if he knows what's going to happen when he dies. And I'm happy to preach. By the time I was 9 years old, Mrs. Choate, my fourth grade teacher, said, I want everybody to go home tonight and write a paper about what you want to do when you grow up. And so I went home and I said, Dad, I need you to help me. I want to write a paper about being a preacher. It is not easy to be a pastor. And I told my dad, even at age 9, that I wanted to be a preacher. I did not want to be a pastor. My dad was a pastor. It is not easy to be a pastor if you take it seriously. There are some people who don't. There are some people who are doing it just as a way to make a living. He speaks of that here. You do this because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. I saw the way that my dad loved his congregation. They loved him too, but everyone had a plan for his life. Everybody has an opinion about how the pastor does things. Okay? If he doesn't wash his car often enough, he's not a good steward. If he washes it too often, he's a materialist. Can't win. So what do you do? Well, I thought, I'll be a preacher, not a pastor. Because it seemed to me that preaching is one thing, pastoring is another. Guess what? That's biblical. One of the finest preachers that you could hear is my brother Bill. I thought your brother John was a pastor. My brother John is a pastor, and he's a tremendous preacher. But my brother Bill is an internationally known medical doctor, not a pastor. But man, can he preach and teach God's word. I wanted maybe to be a lawyer, maybe to do something else for a living, not to be a pastor. But God called me into the pastorate, and I wept. My wife said, I've never seen you cry so hard, because I didn't want to do it. I was already in seminary, thinking that when I got out of seminary, I would just go ahead and start a children's home. And God said, no, you're to go into the pastorate. Now, I was crushed. Why? Jesus, after his resurrection, showed them his hands and his side and said, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. It is costly to shepherd God's people. It is not easy. So he addresses the elders, the shepherds, the pastors, and he says, I appeal to you, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In other words, your reward doesn't come in the form of your paycheck. Your reward comes from the Lord himself, and it is a reward that will never fade away. He echoes there the message in those opening verses of chapter 1, where he says that all of us who are believers have an inheritance in glory that will not fade away. What God has promised us and provided for us will not fade away. We are not laboring for that which is temporary. We are investing in eternity, and that is the best investment you can make.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. I grew up being taught that whenever a lady walks into the room, all the guys are to stand up, thereby symbolically offering their seat. But the other people that you stood up for when they came in were just older people, even men. You stood up for the older person, offering deference to them, not bowing down, but saying, basically, you can have my place. I thought that was just a tradition. And as an adult reading through the Bible for the umpteenth time, I saw actually that's in the Bible. It says the young should rise in the presence of their elders. I didn't realize that. It's actually in the Bible. It turns out a whole lot of those good manners were rooted not just in tradition, but they were rooted in the teachings of Scripture, because God wants us to treat each other well. And you young men, you're to be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. We know the verse, pride goes before a fall. I've shared with you some of my stories, my exceeding vanity, wearing my first suit from Bon Marché, walking out of the building, seeing some kid on the back step and thinking he must be envious of how sharp I look, giving him a nod as I walked quickly forward, right into a stone wall, face first. Pride goes before a fall. I have a recommendation. It comes from God's Word. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Humble yourself. What does that look like? It doesn't mean you walk around thinking about yourself all the time. I'm no good. I'm no good. I can't do anything. I'm just stupid. No. It means you think about yourself less, think about God and others more. It means you focus on them and what can I do to serve? How can I help somebody else? That's what it means to humble yourself. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. He will, when the time is right. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Is there something troubling you, something you're worried about, something that is causing anxiety? Just give that to the Lord. Lord, I can't do anything about that. The stuff we worry about is stuff we can't do anything about. We don't worry about things that we can do something about or we'd do something. But instead, we get burdened down by things we can't do anything about anyway. Do not be anxious about anything, Jesus tells us. Don't worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. God tells us that because it's true. And so whatever is troubling you, bring that to the Lord. Turn that over to him. He cares for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God genuinely cares about you? Well, I don't know. I mean, I've got problems in my life. Yeah, well, your biggest problem is that you are headed for hell, and God cared about you so much that he sent his son to save you. Jesus took the punishment that you and I deserve so that we could be forgiven and spend forever with him enjoying the rewards that Jesus earned. Amazing. He cares for you. So be self-controlled and alert. I'm sorry, I just can't control myself. Well, then turn your life over to the Lord, because one of the manifestations, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And God is able to give you self-control if you give yourself to him. The person that it's hardest for me to say no to is me. But guess what? God's bigger than that. And so as I yield myself to him, as I humble myself under his mighty hand, I can, by his grace, through his power, be self-controlled and alert. Why alert? Well, because there's an enemy out there. We need to realize we're not living in a vacuum. We have an enemy who's very real and who wants to destroy us. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. For your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, when a lion is roaring, he's not using stealth. The time that a lion will roar is in order to intimidate, okay, an enemy or prey. If he can get you so frightened that you basically freeze, it's easier to bring you down. And so the enemy here, the devil, is prowling around, and like a roaring lion, he's looking for someone to devour. Do you want to be the devil's lunch? I don't. So what do I need to do? I need to be self-controlled and alert. When I'm not self-controlled and I'm not paying attention, I'm much more vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. Can you relate? What do we do then? Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Satan is trying to frighten these people into not doing what God would have them do. And they have to remain firm in the faith, knowing that they're not the only ones who are going through this. And what is the promise here? The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Now that is a beautiful promise. God is the one who's going to give us the victory. God is the one who's going to give us the victory, and he will make good on his promises. Then he turns to final greetings. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother. Is that the same Silas who was in prison in Philippi with Paul? Yeah, I would guess so. I don't know that. But it certainly makes sense, and he's spoken of as if this is somebody that the body of Christ knows well. I've written with his help. He helped Peter write this letter. Is that okay? Of course. Peter says, I did this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the assistance of Silas. He says, I've written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Stand fast in it. Don't start looking for some new revelation. Stand firm in the faith. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings. And so does my son Mark. If you read the second gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Mark is the one who wrote it. But it is believed through church tradition and a lot of internal evidence that what Mark wrote was what Peter had taught about the gospel, the events there. And so we have in Mark's gospel a window not only on the life of Jesus that is inspired by God, it is his word, but it's also the perspective, apparently, of Peter, who treated Mark like a son, John Mark. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends her greetings, as and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Fortunately, we don't do that anymore. Well, yes, we do. In many parts of the world, we need to understand that a public display of affection between brothers and between sisters was the norm in the Bible, and it is the norm in the church around the world to this day. It's just we sophisticates here in this country who are so wound tight that we will go hog wild at a ball game or a musical concert, but when it comes to the worship of God and being around other believers, we're like, hello, good to see you. Yes, glad you're here. Maybe when we read verses like this, it should tell us to loosen up somewhat. What do you think? Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Are you in Christ today? Have you passed from death to life? You see, there is no middle ground. The only place of safety, the only forgiveness, is in Christ. If you are trusting him, then you can stand firm in the faith, knowing that you are his and he will not only preserve you, he will reward you. But if you're saying, I just don't know. Okay, I appreciate your honesty, but understand this is very important. Nothing else compares. You need to know Jesus. And I pray that you will trust him because he is worthy. And as Peter says, I'm appealing to you as one who is a witness of Christ's suffering. This is the real thing. This isn't a made-up story. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. Peter saw it happen. So why would Peter follow him? Because he didn't only die on the cross, he conquered death. And that makes it so that we don't have to be afraid.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.